The night of the decision. It was an eager but subdued group of workers and members that gathered that Saturday night in the Mountain View Church. The outgoing president, who presided throughout the assembly, opened the meeting and then called Elder Irwin to the chair. Irwin reviewed the experience of the church in arranging in the 1890s for the education of physicians at the American Medical Missionary College in Chicago. He pointed out the church's responsibility in providing medical education for its youth under favorable spiritual conditions. Elder Burden followed with a review of the developments at Loma Linda. The letter to Sister White and her response were read. Burden was followed by Elder I. H. Evans. The latter, on his way from Washington to Mountain View, had spent a few hours in Chicago conferring with the officers of the American Medical Association. This is the body that is recognized in the United States as establishing standards to be followed in medical education and practice. When Evans had presented the proposals he had in mind, the medical men in Chicago had laughed at the proposition, declaring that it was useless for Seventh-day Adventists, with their limited finances, personnel, and facilities, to consider starting a medical school. Why, they said, the best you could do would be to start a C-grade school, and we are closing all C-grade schools. But Evans was a man of faith. He opened his remarks in the Mountain View Saturday night meeting by saying, I am deeply interested in what has been read to us tonight from the Spirit of Prophecy. The question before the meeting is one of great importance, and needs most careful consideration from every standpoint. The establishment of a medical school has been under consideration for several years by some of our leading brethren. Not a few of our men have believed that we should have such a school. They have hesitated to establish a school, because of their lack of experience in operating such an enterprise, and because they did not know where to secure either the teachers or the money with which to carry forward the same. When the statement from Sister White is read, I am sure that the majority of our brethren will feel as we feel tonight, that the Lord has spoken, and we will obey. To some, this counsel from Sister White may come as a trial of their faith. To others, I am sure the word spoken will seem God-given and timely. Oftentimes, the light God has sent to His people has seemed to be foolishness to those who did not view things as heaven views them. Now if we always were wise-hearted, and saw everything as the Lord would have us view it, there would be no need of further light through the Spirit of Prophecy, but we are mortal, and our vision is limited, and we often see things in a perverted light. Because of our lack of clear perception, the Lord in mercy speaks to His people through the Spirit of Prophecy. He has had to do this in the past, and we may well hope that He may long continue speaking to us concerning our duty and the needs of His cause. And he continued, saying in part, Since our brethren have been talking on this subject tonight, I have been thinking of the many times in the past when the Lord has spoken to this people, counseling them to do one thing or another, when many of the leading men at the time were not able to see any light in doing that which was suggested. He then reviewed some of God's guiding providences in establishing the church's publishing work and church school work. He dwelt at some length with the work in Australia as an object lesson, commenting, I cannot think of a single enterprise that has been started by the instruction of the Spirit of Prophecy, that has not worked out for the best good of the Lord's work. Many times we have been told to move forward, when the Red Sea seemed before us, and the mountains on either side, but every time we have accepted the instruction and stepped cheerfully forward, the Lord has made plain a pathway in which we could walk, and we have found not only prosperity to the cause of God, but we have found our own hearts nurtured in the Lord. Evans maintained that such experiences should strengthen faith, and he declared, We have before us tonight a plain, straightforward statement from Sister White, in regard to the establishment of a medical school. He laid the matter out in straight terms. There is no guesswork about it, there is no equivocation, there is no false construction that need be put upon these words. The question is, will we follow the counsel given? Do we intend to obey what the Lord has said to us in regard to the establishment and maintenance of a medical school? Most earnest attention was paid as this representative from the General Conference pressed the matter. Someone may say, the time is most inopportune. But the question is, when the Lord reveals to us His desire that we shall establish a medical school, and do it soon, is the time inopportune for doing such a work? I can conjure up many reasons why at this time we are ill-prepared to establish and operate a medical school. It is not hard for any man to say that we have not the money at hand. Any man need not be very wise to say, we do not know where we shall get medical men trained and qualified to take up this work. But the question is, will we establish this medical school, when the Lord has indicated so plainly our duty? I believe, brethren, if we step forward in the fear of God, and make an effort to establish this school, the Lord will help us and make the way clear. Elder Evans then discussed at length a number of features of the work, but stressed the importance of safeguarding the church's youth from the subtle influences and erroneous teachings in the schools of the world. He observed, I believe we shall see light, more and more, as we advance by faith, in accordance with the words of counsel that have come to us through the servant of the Lord. W.C. White, in the last speech made, declared, Brethren and friends, I believe that the Lord God of Israel is leader of this people, and I believe that it is He who is leading us to undertake this tremendous enterprise, an enterprise which will mean more to us in the matter of expense and sacrifice than we may estimate today, an enterprise which will mean many times more to us in results, in the saving of souls and in the fitting up of efficient missionaries, than we can possibly calculate today. And while the world will continue to say to us, as it has said in the past, ye are not able to go up and possess this field of usefulness, I believe that our people will unite in saying, we are well able to go up and possess it, and do this great work.